Get your quarters ready. This is the History of Gaming podcast, and I'm the final boss, Zach Natto. This podcast is a way to help shine a light on a popular video game franchise. We'll find out exactly how these games were made, things like what went right, what went wrong, and later on, I sit down with someone who's passionate about the series, giving you a fan's perspective of what makes that game so great. For this episode, we're going to be expanding upon the role-playing game genre and talking about my personal favorite video game series, the action-adventure sci-fi trilogy, Mass Effect. The Mass Effect series was developed by Canadian video game company BioWare. Lately, BioWare's last few projects have been hit or miss, depending on who you ask. Games like Anthem, Star Wars The Old Republic, and the Dragon Age franchise. It's no secret their specialty lies in role-playing games, allowing players to explore new worlds and interact with the story and its characters. After the developers finished working on Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic in mid-2003, Casey Hudson, BioWare's project director, was already thinking of what their next big thing would be. Hudson wanted to take the best parts from the Old Republic and use them for a new game set in its own original universe. The game would still be set in space and have players command their own ship to explore the galaxy with different dialogue options to choose from and a variety of different characters to take with you on missions. So, Casey Hudson and BioWare got to work, creating new planets, cultures, and alien species to make the universe feel truly authentic. The game has a morality system which is tracked by choices called Paragon and Renegade options. Paragon being morally good choices, and Renegade being rash, anti-hero type actions. These became some of BioWare's main selling points in the series, with you controlling the story. How far does this decision-making go? Things like deciding which bounty hunter faction you can trust while the other might betray you, or deciding the fate of a whole species. These choices are given to the players throughout the game to develop their characters, and bigger decisions can affect major plot points later on in the story. Using this formula, coupled with inspiration from the shooting gameplay of the original Deus Ex game, Mass Effect was released on November 16th, 2007. After the game came out, the developers took suggestions from fans into account when making Mass Effect 2, which hit the shelves on January 6, 2010. The sequel brought smoother combat, faster load times when going into new areas, more options to customize characters and weapons, and a larger roster of squad mates to take with you on missions. That's something I really admire about BioWare, is that they always listen to feedback from fans after every game, especially when it came to the ending of Mass Effect 3, which released on March 6, 2012. But before we talk about the ending, it's important to give you an idea of what the universe of Mass Effect is like. Here's a quick rundown on the game's universe. You might want to buckle up for this one. The head honchos of the game's universe are a council of three leaders from the galaxy's most advanced species. The shoot first, ask questions later Turians, who have the largest military force in the galaxy. The peace-loving Asari, a race comprised of blue-skinned women. And the extremely intelligent Salarians. But that's not all. We've got the brutal Krogan, a species who were evolved into intelligence by the Salarians to fight for them in a war against insect-like creatures called the Rachni. And there's also the Quarians, who were forced off of their homeworld after creating a super advanced network of AI called the Geth. And the Geth later rebelled and won the war against their creators. Oh, and we can't forget there are humans in Mass Effect, but we're like the galaxy's little brother, being the least advanced race in terms of technology. Ouch! Speaking of human beings, the game lets you take control of Commander Shepard, Earth's most badass space cop. Through Commander Shepard, players can interact with the squad mates they recruit, strengthening the relationships between them. This can help make sure the character stays alive by the end of the game. But if relationships go exceedingly well with certain characters, the game gives you an opportunity to have romantic relationships with some of your teammates, aliens included. But Shepard's main mission isn't just getting to know their crewmates, it's finding a way to unite the galaxy and fight the threat known as the Reapers, who are hell-bent on eliminating all sentient life in the galaxy. Phew! So with how much you can do in the games, and all the stakes that go along with it, the series became a huge success with sci-fi and role-playing game fans. selling more than 20 million copies between the first three games, and with all the merchandise that goes along with it, you're looking at a net worth of $92.3 million total. Now let's get down to it. We got to address the dark side of Mass Effect's moon, the ending to Mass Effect 3. Fans, myself included, were excited to see how the Legendary series would end, and let's just say the ending left way too many questions unanswered. In fact, so many fans were disappointed, it made the developers go back to the drawing board and make an extended ending, giving a little more context as to what happens to Shepard and his crew. And the best part was, BioWare released the ending as downloadable content to fans for free! Mass Effect fans have been BioWare's favorite child because they've given them so much support over the years, pushing the studio to give us more and more. And I can go on and on about what a great game this is, but you've probably heard enough of my voice by now. To give you a break, I thought I'd ask a good friend of mine, Max Wiegand, who's another super fan of the game, to give you his thoughts on this series. I want to introduce my guest here as a sort of jack of all trades, because a game like Mass Effect needs you to be one. If you ever hope to beat the game and achieve the ending you want, joining me today is my good friend, Max Wiegand. Thank you so much for being here, man.
No, thank you for having me. I'm really excited for this.
Now, to give you an idea on who this guy is, he's someone who's been able to accomplish so many interesting things. He's a master in martial arts. He teaches it. He's a master in engineering and an overall outdoorsy guy. He's no stranger to rock climbing or zip lining, laying his life on the line, just like Commander Shepard. I know he's got a unique perspective to give on all these great characters and the galaxy-spanning story of Mass Effect. Let's get into it. Max, I want to know why you think Mass Effect is such a popular series.
Mass Effect is a really important game to the whole RPG genre as a whole. And I think it has a really unique twist compared to other games. I think a really close game to Mass Effect would be the Witcher series. And both these games, sort of, they really emphasize the choices you make and the consequences that arise from those. And I think that's really important to an immersive experience for the players. Getting to sort of impart your own morals and ethics and philosophies on the game really lets you tap into it and connect with the game, connect with your character, and even connect with the world and the other characters in it. And I think that's something that Mass Effect does really well, is bringing to life all these characters and the world itself just through your actions.
How is it that some people can get so emotionally invested in these characters? Like, there's romantic options, but some people generally care for the safety of these characters and will restart their whole campaign if their favorite character dies. So can you maybe talk about that?
Yeah, I fully agree with that. That's so true about this game. And what I think it is the whole squad mechanics in the game, where you get to choose who accompanies you on each mission. That, I think, is very different from other games, where you sort of have these passive characters that you interact with and are there with you in the world. But in this game, they're literally right beside you as you're going into these firefights and stuff like that, and they have your back and everything. And then you get the chance in the downtime on the missions to go interact with them and talk with them, and you build these rapports. And over the course of, you know, three games, there's a lot of character development for everyone. And you sort of really feel that. But it's not like when you're watching a TV series or reading a book or something, because, again, you're fully engaged with it. You're not a passive audience. You're right in there with them. And I think that really lends to the connection you can make with these characters. And it does feel like a real connection. By the time you finish the game, you feel almost lonely in a sense, like you don't have your friends anymore.
I totally agree. And you talk about these iconic characters and bringing them along with you on the squad. Sometimes these characters have different interactions with the levels. Do you think that helps in the replayability of this game? Like, you may learn something about a character you didn't know if you didn't take them the first time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can go on like Reddit threads that have like the whole thing, like the interactions listed out for you, like which character does what and stuff. And I mean, like, you could do that if you want, but it's also fun to just mess around with it, play around with it, figure it out for yourself. And it kind of lends itself to the sort of role-playing element as well. like trying to figure out who would be the best character to bring with you, what sort of skill sets they have or what their background will help bring to the mission and stuff. And again, I think it really just helps create this living, breathing world to have the characters all have unique perspectives and takes on what's going on around them.
Is there something this series does or did that you wish other games or movies, TV shows would start doing?
I think for a sci-fi RPG game, it took itself quite seriously, which was awesome. And these are high-level concepts. It's bringing like topics of war and genocide and all that stuff. And they're heavy-handed concepts, and it forces you to make decisions that might not be for the best. They might be the wrong decisions, but regardless, you have to make them. And I think it's very real. It's a very real feeling. That's something you don't always get out of video games that are oftentimes mostly about entertainment. I think it's refreshing to see something take itself so seriously like that.
And with such a rich world like Mass Effect, you're dealing with the whole universe, but you start out as like a space cop just for Earth. And by the end, you're in charge of like the whole galaxy's army. So I think just like the stakes of the game and how it took its time separately really sets it apart as well. Did you have a moment in any of your playthroughs that really stuck with you, maybe days after you played it, something like that?
Yeah, I think honestly, like the culmination of probably all the sort of stuff we've been talking about, what makes the game so great, happens in the third game. I don't know if I'm giving away spoilers or anything.
Oh, the game's super old. You can go into it. If they care about the ending, they would have known it already.
There's a sort of scene where it's towards the end of the third game. And I mean, the third game is amazing because everyone's just so beaten down. They're stuck in this war and everything, and everyone's exhausted and tired, and you're on the last mission or something, and if you bring Garrus with you, he ends up getting injured, and you don't know if he's going to make it or anything. And he leans over to you and he says, "You always were the better shot." And then you reply back, "Not by half, Garrus." And it's just, that was such a touching moment that it needed three games to build up to that point, you know, just for that one simple piece of dialogue. And it feels like you are talking to your friend, and you don't know if they're going to live or not. That was just such a very powerful moment in a video game.
Do you think this game has the potential to be a successful TV series or movie series? Or do you think they should keep it in this medium and maybe focus on maybe expanding the games in another trilogy?
Everything that makes it so great as a series, as a piece of media, is the fact that it is a video game and that it's interactive and you're a part of it. And that's what makes it really interesting. It would be hard to turn into a show or a movie because, again, so much of the game's premise is based on choice and consequence. And that's hard to get across in a film or any other real piece of media. You know, I think video games are really unique in that aspect of storytelling that as a player, you really become a part of it.
Yeah, you can't choose how your favorite character on Grey's Anatomy ends the episode, you know? Something that Mass Effect does that it can't be done anywhere else. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Max. Loved hearing your perspective on what makes this series so awesome.
All right. No, that was so much fun.
Do you have anything else to say as a final word to the fans of this series?
Definitely go out and get the Legendary Edition. It just dropped a few weeks ago. They did an amazing job on it. It looks beautiful. You have to go play it.
I want to give a huge thanks to my friend Max for being on the podcast. On the next episode, I'm going to be going out of the role-playing genre and diving into a different one altogether. I'm not going to tell you which one yet. You're just going to have to tune in and find out. I'm the final boss, Zach Natto, on the History of Gaming podcast. Thanks for listening.